Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, a show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly, and man, I'm about to do a podcast for a Klondike bar. Once again, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet, and once again, I am joined by my... I am joined by my icy and creamy co-host. Would you like to tell the people who it is that y'all are?
Hey, y'all, it's me, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snoker on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram, and I simply do not dream of Klondike bars.
Oh, man, I'm so dreamy creamy, and my name's Eric. Yuck. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm Tindy Losey around on the internet.
It's not that kind of podcast.
Now, that was actually a reference to a different podcast. Only real heads will know.
Well, I guess if you're the Dreamy Creamy podcast, that makes you the icy host, Steph. So, you all have been donned icy and creamy. Good job y'all did it.
I am the snow queer, so...
And I don't know.
Oh!
Snow and ice.
So, yeah, like the name of the bar, of the ice cream bar is also the name of a march.
Yeah.
It's in New York that I can't say. I can only say it when it's ice cream.
The Klondike? The Klondike march?
if it's cold during Pride Month, I guess.
I get it now.
We did it, y'all. That's an episode of Geek Review. So, how y'all been this last week or so?
Well, we had our strike. That was pretty cool. Thanks for coming out if you did. No news yet, but we'll see.
Let's see how it goes. Congratulations on completing it.
Thank you.
What about you, Eric? What have you been up to?
Just
lead any rousing workers' chants outside of an old building.
I mean, the only place I'd be able to do that is my own home, and like that would certainly be weird.
Hey, roommate, get out here. Krusty Krab is unfair.
Yeah, I guess. You know, in far more or less interesting things, did you know that you can just make a Japanese Nintendo Network account and just have it? And therefore, you can just have it, and then you can just access the Japanese Nintendo store, and you can just buy games that are in Japanese on there. You just do that.
You could just potentially do that if you wanted to maybe do that.
Yeah, you can just do that. You can then, like, you just download the Super Famicom and Japanese N64 clients and play the games that we don't get in America using your English Switch profile or whatever.
Console.
You can just do that. You can just do that. So you can do things like play... what's the name of this? I don't remember. Custom Robo. And Custom Robo 2 on the N64, games that never came out in America. You can just play them. It was real easy to do. It took me like 5 minutes.
Nice. I've heard of a lot of streamers doing that, or I've heard them doing it with other countries as well. Like, oh man, I really want to play this game, and it's midnight of local time, so I'm just going to get an Australian account so I can play games instead of going to bed and waking up.
That's like everyone at the beginning of Animal Crossing deciding whether they were actually in the southern or northern hemisphere, so the seasons.
Yeah, so you can do that also with like a European Nintendo account, because like those like subscription things, like as I said, the Super Nintendo, original Nintendo thing, like they put different games at different like localities. So like the US version has different games, the Japanese version has different games, the EU version has different games. You can just get them all, you just have to make a bunch of accounts, which it's kind of frustrating, but
frustrating but doable. Care. It's like a less elegant VPN.
Yeah. And it's also fun to try to navigate the Nintendo store in Japanese when you kind of only can read most of it. My plan is to buy one of the Gundam games that hasn't come out in America, so that way I can, you know, practice some Japanese and also just fight some robots.
See, I tried doing an Australian account, but I couldn't understand the words on that either.
Yeah. It's real weird when you open up the Nintendo store and it says, "Oi, g'day, cunt."
the eShop is going wild this time of year. I went to a convention this weekend. Not going to top that. Wish you would have saved that for the end, because that's can't be the title either. Anyway,
can't be the title.
I went to TECO this year, Pittsburgh's local anime convention, and I had a lot of fun. I volunteered, so I helped the staff out. It was pretty cool, so obviously I'm going to have some bias, but I had a good time there. A lot of the attendees and guests said they had a good time. It's fun working with guests and meeting people that I've only met online before. And nice. The COVID protocols were pretty nice. You had to have proof of vaccination or proof of a PCR test that was negative in the last certain amount of days, and masks were mandatory. There were some, like, designated areas where you didn't have to wear a mask, like places where people were eating and stuff like that, in little areas to the side. Also, the David L. Lawrence Convention Center is huge, with really high ceilings and a really open space.
It's like aircraft hangars, like, for, like, the dealer's room floor is what I recall of it. Just huge.
Yeah, like, people, they have car shows there and, like, home and garden shows, so there's a lot of space in that building.
Yeah, I've been to, like, boat shows, I feel like, when I was, like, little.
Yep.
The carpet
right
there.
After they built that place, like, it was huge.
The carpet there made me dizzy, I remember that.
I could see that, I can remember that. But other than that, it was a really good time. It was nice to get some good fan art, meet people, make some connections, do some networking. Overall, pretty good. Attendance was down from pre-pandemic, but that's to be understood. Just, that's how life works. I don't know if people are aware of that. Especially when you say, hey, we think COVID exists. You are going to turn some people away.
I have a question.
There'll be a lot of people who say it still exists and just won't come. Yeah, what's up?
Did Sexy Pyramid Head have to wear a mask under her pyramid head?
That's the rule. It's hard to prove. But the rule is that, like, you have a mask on. Like, you know, what's his face from My Hero Academia with the Plague Doctor overhaul?
Yeah.
Like, there were people who were like, oh, I have this mask on. And, like, we need you to wear a mask because there's holes in that. That doesn't actually do anything. Like, that's a prop. Like, unless you installed a mask into it, that's just a toy and you will spread germs. So I felt pretty safe. But that's not to say that everything's 100% safe. But I think they did their best. And I heard the masquerade was really good. I was working somewhere else during it, but. Yeah, convention season is upon us again, and I, for one, am excited to see people being nice and happy to each other, and I'm still surprised to see young people doing Sonic cosplay, because I guess the movie is out, but it's like, this franchise is just not going to die now, and I'm happy about that. And also seeing older people just cosplay in general. I saw somebody who looked to be like in their 60s, maybe. They like, you know, like, gray hair and wrinkles and stuff, and they were in cosplay, and they had some people were like, oh, hey, and it's just like, oh, this is nice, and people bringing, like, their little toddlers and stuff. But there's a little baby Vulpix and Growlithe that were, like, probably four, like, they were running around just, like, diving. It's like, oh, this is adorable.
I think the best...
The next generation is going to have good memories.
The best, like, child cosplay I think I ever saw was at ASEN, like, years ago. It was, like, I don't know, they might have not even been a year old. It was, like, you know, still clearly, like, a baby that was dressed as a Magikarp and was just, like, on the ground, like, trying to crawl around, but it just looked like it was splashing.
Oh.
I did see at least two Spy Family cosplayers that had, like, at least the dad and Anya.
Nice.
And that was very adorable. It's, I'm just happy. I continue to be happy, and I know this is jinxing it and monkeys pawing it, but I'm so glad no one is, like, being weird about Anya. They're just like, oh, it's a cute little kid, and we're going to leave it at that because we're good people. And I'm like, finally, it just took one anime to say we can all be good people.
Thank you, God.
And they're like, now the mom, though. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, yours pretty high. It's fine. That's all good.
You know, you're a boy. Right.
They're grown-ass adults. So. But yeah, we had a little bit of news this week. These weeks are feeling longer than ever. Daisy and Shy Guy are coming to Mario Strikers, so now it's actually a game.
Can't wait to hear Hi, I'm Daisy.
Now it's actually a game.
Yeah, I still don't have it, but I can't imagine what this content strategy was for. Hey, let's not put Daisy in the base game. Let's make people wait for it. And it's like, oh, you mean people just aren't going to buy it then? Okay.
So people are just not going to buy it till you actually do that, is what you're saying.
I would imagine, and
I just didn't buy it because I got burned by Mario Golf. I was so excited about Mario Golf, and then it was so disappointing.
It's fucked
yeah,
up.
That's because they're just not doing the things they used to. I think Mario Strikers had a lower threshold to clear, because if I recall correctly, Mario Strikers never really had a whole bunch of content, and it was just like the game itself was solid.
Yeah.
Whereas Mario Tennis and Mario Golf are not, like, interesting sports necessarily on their own in a video game. Tennis is hugely fascinating in real life, but when you don't have to worry about stamina, it's like, oh, well, Mario playing against Bowser, there's a difference, but they're never going to get tired, so this could go on forever. But whereas Mario Strikers was like, this is only vaguely soccer. Like, they are slamming each other into walls. You cannot do that in any incarnation of soccer. Yeah, it's like, also, it's an electrified fence. What's going on?
It's battle soccer. It's just like there was that, for a little while, there was that one company that was putting out football games that were like stadium football, where like you could bounce
the XFL.
Essentially, it was like, except not owned by Vince McMahon, which, hey, that's a piece of good news that you guys might not have heard. Vince McMahon.
Oh, no, yeah, I know. Yeah,
finally retired.
Stepped down or whatever.
Yeah.
About that guy.
And it's probably because of all of the sex scandals and sexual, like, misconduct allegations that are currently being tried against him.
The podcasts I listened to this morning was like, he's just like Roger Ailes. He's in charge of a big company that puts out fake things. And also, he did a sexual harassment.
Yep. Not just, many.
Gross.
Many. At least one. Definitely more.
Yeah. Well, get him out of here. I remember EA Sports did their division EA big. They made NBA Street, NFL Street, FIFA Street.
That's SSX Tricky.
Yeah, they made EA Sports big. SSX Tricky was great. And NBA Street Volume 2 was the best one it had. They reminisce of you as the intro, like, that whole 70s aesthetic. One of the best games ever made. Like, just, I'm not even exaggerating.
Like, I'm not a basketball fan. I'm not, like, a basketball video game fan. I liked that game.
Yeah, that was a fun game. You can make your own character. They had all, like, the preset guys, like.
On the GameCube, you'd also have Mario and Luigi, which just looked hilarious.
Yeah, NBA Street Volume 3, you could have Mario, Luigi, and Peach going up against LeBron, yeah. And that's one of the funniest things. Well, hey, speaking of LeBron James, Multiverse's open beta starts this week. The closed beta started last week with drops via Twitch, but it's that big Warner Brothers, big crossover Smash Bros.-like game.
LeBron James
and people
is in
are like,
it.
Yeah, he was released... I think today or tomorrow, like, when the open beta starts, you'll be able to play as LeBron James specifically from Space Jam 2. Like, it's not just generally
just with,
LeBron
like,
James.
In his,
it's
like, Toon Squad jersey and stuff.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty cool. And he looks like he's fun. I mean, he's the first person, I think, in the game that's, like, a real person. Like, Arya Stark's there, but, like, she's not real, even if she looks like the human being she's played by in the show.
Yeah.
But LeBron James is just a straight up, that's a guy. That's a person who exists that you could theoretically see in real life.
That's just some guy.
Yeah, and then obviously Rick and Morty are coming out as separate characters, which they could have done the Tom and Jerry thing, but seems like they could be interesting. Rick will be out before the game comes out, and Morty's coming out when the game comes out. And it seems like the game is not selling characters, from what I understand. Like,
no.
It seems like you're going to have to grind to get them,
yeah.
But not like... But, like, the regular kind of grind where it's not buy a battle pass and it'll be easier grind. It just seems like, no, that's just the only way to get characters, which, interesting strategy, but...
And I watched Jeff Gerstmann play a couple hours of it, and it seems like a competent Smash Brothers clone. It seems like it's more focused on 2v2. He was playing 1v1, and it didn't seem like that was very interesting because it was just, like, not a lot going on.
There's some mechanics, and just like the balance of the game is based on the 2v2, which I think is a smart move to separate it.
Yeah.
They do 2v2 Smash Bros, but that's not the primary way people play that game competitively.
It looks better than whatever, like the, I can't remember the name of the Nickelodeon one at this point.
Yeah, Nickelodeon Smash, yeah.
Yeah, because that, I don't know, the Nickelodeon one, as badly as I wanted it to be good, I played it and it was not. So
it's just tough, especially when they were starting on that back foot without the sound effects.
Yeah,
just like made any immersion, because people that play it say it's a nice tight game and it feels good, but like game feel is more than just the mechanics. And unless you were saying I'm a Melee pro and I just want another game after Rivals of Aether, unless that's what you were looking for, this game didn't deliver on that. And I don't blame the developers.
Yeah.
But
at a certain point, just play Rivals of Aether on PC, and you can put whatever the hell character in that you want, because it's all the mods that exist.
Yeah, they even like added some of the modded characters that were OCs like into the game, which is a pretty neat move. But yeah, Multiverses looks pretty cool. Hope it does well in a not rooting for the capitalist kind of way, but rooting for innovation and more games is always nice, and the developers seem to be in good spirits. So that is cool. I guess this is the last little bit of video game news, unless anything else pops up, and we'll do a weird transition out of video games that I think you all are really going to enjoy.
I'm excited. I'm already buckled up.
Yeah, we just got the first looks of Yakuza 8, aka they're making a direct sequel to Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon.
And that's the one you've been playing. That's the RPG one, right?
Yeah, that's yep. Dragon Quest, but Yakuza.
The ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, just showed Ichiban with his hair pulled back instead of in his big fluffy hair, which I don't know why a guy who didn't like that haircut didn't just get it cut once he got a little bit of money, but you do what you can. And then we, like, see Adachi. So I am excited to see how the game comes out, because I am enjoying this one quite a lot, and
I love keep the avoiding whole the main franchise, so...
Yeah. I've been avoiding the main story just because all the side content's really fun and ridiculous. There's a side quest where a guy brings a circus into town, but it's just, like, one animal at a time. So you fight... So his bear gets loose, so you fight the bear, and then you come back later, and then his tiger gets loose, so you fight the tiger, and then you come back later, and his chimp gets loose. Instead of fighting the chimp directly, the chimp gets in a bulldozer, and you have to fight the bulldozer. And you've already fought a tiger and a bulldozer before, but it's just the idea of, like, man, this is getting really ridiculous. And, it's quite an enjoyable game, so I am looking forward to seeing what else it has in store in the main story, but
and if you don't
there's
enjoy,
a lot of goofy side content.
And if you don't enjoy, like, the RPG style of, like, games, the Yakuza 1 through 6 are, like, fighting slash, like, adventure games where you're kind of, like, hanging out in certain areas of Tokyo, and it's incredibly immersive, and just it's even fun to just walk around and be like, I'm gonna go look at billboards for an hour just because it's real pretty.
Yeah, I normally don't like turn-based RPGs, but I'm quite enjoying this one. So I think just with the timed inputs and worrying about the environment is a nice touch. Like if you attack an enemy as the main character and there's like debris or like cones or bikes, he'll pick one up and attack with that instead.
Yep.
So just pick up like a bicycle off the ground and just start smashing people with it. It's like, okay, so you have to worry about that and little things. This is kind of nice.
In Yakuza, like Kiwami and like Yakuza 0, 1, 2, like through 6 or whatever, one of my favorite things to do was you'd be fighting someone and then as a finisher move, it'll like slow things down, just literally breaking a motorcycle over someone's head was just
like
the best way to finish combat. Just being like, here's a whole fucking motorcycle.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. And it's like, ostensibly you're not killing the people, like they're supposed to be knocked out. It's like, if you throw somebody a motorcycle onto someone's head, they are dying.
they will die. They are genuinely deceased.
I mean, if you think about if all the humans are relatively as strong, if you're strong enough to pick up a motorcycle and throw it, you could eat that hit if your body had that much constitution.
I guess. on the RPG side, though, I've been playing another Square Enix RPG that just came out on Friday called Live Alive. That one that I was real excited about. That's kind of like the 2D HD remake of like a weird esoteric RPG that came out in Japan on the Super Nintendo and never got an English release.
How are you liking it?
It's fun. It's a, like, so combat in it is kind of cool because it's, like, grid-based, so there's, like, a tactical feel to it because it's kind of like a tactics grid or whatever, but it's still, like, a, active time bar, so it's, like, you know how, like, your bars fill up in, like, Final Fantasy 7 or 4 or whatever, and it's, like, when it hits the max that you get to move, but, so, like, that's how that works. But in order to position yourself on the grid where you need to be, you have to, like, move your character. And every time your character moves, everybody else's action bar goes up. So it's kind of like trying to figure out good positioning so that you can move the least so you're not giving enemies chances to attack. It's fun. It's cute. I started with what I probably would assume is the worst of the 7 characters to start with, just because, like... It's
on purpose or
so
because
like
the vibes.
The idea of the game is that there are 7 characters and it takes place across like 7 completely different time periods, and each one is like its own self-contained story, and they're not super long. So I started with the one that takes place in prehistory, which is all nonverbal. So, like, good. I was like, I really hope that there's, like, dialogue in the rest of this game. And there is, like, in the other stories or whatever. But this first one is just, like,
everything. So we haven't invented language yet?
Yeah, it was, like, they hadn't invented language. So everything was, like, grunting and, like, gesturing for, like, the way that characters communicated with each other. And the story was real basic. It was, like, you know, your main character falls in love with girl cave, like, cave woman who was, like, being sacrificed to a dinosaur. So you are just, you like, know. It's just, like, constantly, like, trying to save her and, like, fighting this other tribe of cave people. It's fine. It was just,
it's
I was like,
me,
this is,
Mario.
Like, it was just kind of, like, this is the weakest one to start on, because it's really not presenting anything about the game or the way, like, it tells stories to you.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's hilarious.
It was still fun. I'm excited to finish it, because I don't know if they... if there is some sort of, like, epilogue at the end where all having finished all the character stories will matter or something.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'll check back in a few weeks, let you know.
Keep us in the loop.
Keep you posted.
So let's keep on the theme of sort of, like, nerdy interests based out of Japan and talk about something else weird that we found out this week. So apparently, Good Smile Company... like, the people who make Nendoroids
oh,
other
yeah,
figures, just
this
like...
this was fucking wild!
Apparently they own 4chan.
The Nendoroid boys!
Yeah. I don't even know if this is news or if this is just... it's been brought to people's attention recently.
The Nendoroid boys own 4chan.
And have since, like, 2015.
Yeah. So, like, after the garbage started, but, like, they didn't do anything about it, and it's... that's just odd, right? Like...
it's weird, especially because, like, the site still seems to, like, run itself, essentially. Like, it still is, like, mostly autonomous. It's just, they are the company that owns it.
They just, like, pay for the, like, domain name or something, like...
I guess. They own, like, they might own the copyright. They own, like, the code for it or whatever. Because, like,
mm-hmm.
it's... 4chan is ostensibly moderated by users. So...
mm-hmm.
They call them janitors, though.
I mean,
cute.
That's
I mean,
apt.
Yeah.
They probably are cleaning up a lot of shit if they're cleaning up things.
Yeah. And, like, I know that, you know, some heinous stuff still gets posted on 4chan, but it is honestly a lot cleaner nowadays than it ever was in its, like, infancy.
Heyday.
Yeah, or its heyday. Like, when it first came out, like, there was, like, no moderation. People were just posting all sorts of absolutely vile things. I don't know. It is. I think I told, like, when we were discussing this before the show, I think I had said that it made sense to me in that this way Good Smile has, like, direct access to the data of what is being discussed on, like, the movies boards, the anime boards, the video game boards,
mm-hmm.
so that they can
yeah.
see what, like, maybe niche stuff that they could get the rights to create figures of. Is being discussed so that they can put it out and then they can just market it on 4chan.
True. Yeah, that's the kicker, I think, because, like, otherwise it's just like, or you could send an intern to go sit on those boards, like...
Yeah, I think the bigger thing is that since they own the website and, like, therefore have access to all the code, they can just scrape that data. Like, they have, like,
uh-huh.
they
don't have to have someone sit on it.
Yeah, they don't have to have someone, like, go and troll it. They can just be like, let's look at all mentions of a title, you know, and, like, how many times, like, that same title was brought up or whatever. So.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's just one of those weird things, like, wow, that's okay. Cool.
Yeah. Again, real weird. But
so weird.
I am glad it's them and not some, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it could be, like, some alt-right media company. Like, imagine finding out, like, Steve Bannon owned, like, 4chan.
It wouldn't surprise me, but...
Yeah, then I would be... Then I'd start to worry of, like, what's he gonna do with this? Versus now it's like, huh, okay, well...
Huh, probably for
off,
fan reasons.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, it also is, you know, kind of apt that a Japanese company ends up owning it because 4chan was, like, an American/English iteration of 2chan, which was originally a Japanese... primarily Japanese-only, like, message board back
True.
In the infancy
back
of the
in
internet.
In the way before times.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how things just kind of find a way of going in circles?
Yeah.
Well, that's let's keep talking about things that aren't surprising then. The new slate of MCU stuff dropped this last weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. And I didn't keep up with anything from Comic-Con. I just know that the Wakanda Forever stuff is happening, and people are like, that looks cool.
I saw the images. They're doing one show about every state in the union.
Basically. God, they announced so many things. Just so many. Like, I'm excited for Wakanda Forever that the trailer looked bomb. Like, nothing else is super grabbing me. Like, might go see some stuff, but like, God, someone on my Twitter timeline was like, we are imminently going to see a VFX worker strike based on two Avengers movies in 1 year. Like,
that's absurd. Yeah, so, I don't know, besides the MCU stuff, did y'all even see anything come out of SDCC?
There was a full-length Interview with a Vampire trailer that I very responsibly forgot to watch before we recorded.
Cool.
Can't report back on that quite yet, but I will. There was also, I think, a full-length trailer dropped for The Rings of Power, the Amazon, Silmarillion series.
Okay.
Which I also didn't watch. I remember people were so excited
about that before. I remember people were just saying so many good things about it. There's a black lady in it or something, I think, so people got mad.
Of course.
If I recall correctly, this was a while ago, though, not recently.
I remember seeing some stuff coming out of SDCC, but, honestly, this past weekend was also, the beginning of Magic the Gathering's 30th anniversary stuff, so that was where
I was... So there was just a lot of content happening.
Yeah, there was too much for me to keep up with.
That's... same here. Like I said, I was busy over the weekend, and when I wasn't busy with that, I was just playing games, so...
Well, hell
yeah. I will say the one thing that came out of the Magic the Gathering... they're starting their spoilers for the next set that comes out in September.
Uh-huh.
And they showed off what the store promo cards are going to be for going and playing in the pre-release and playing in tournaments and possibly winning tournaments. And they generally do for first place, you'll get a special card. It's usually called a textless card, where it'll be full art of a card that's very well known within the community. And it's kind of a status symbol, being I've got the textless version of Terminate or, of Lightning Helix or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time they did a card, it's called Omnath Locus of Creation, which is a card that has two full paragraphs of rules text on its normal printing.
Oh no!
And has been errated, aka has been rebalanced four times. So, in order to even know if you have an older version of the card, in order to even know what it does, you have to go online to look up its rules. So, God. It's it's kind of the perfect card to print without text, because they're hey, we might change the rules on this card again, so I guess no text is good.
I guess no text is fine, wait, because no matter how many times we change it, it doesn't matter, because you just have to look it up.
Yeah.
So, they're going to patch real, physical cards?
Yeah, they've done basically. It. They do it all the time. It's there have been multiple times where a card has been errated before the set even came out. So it's been printed and it's about to be released for purchase, and they'll post online being hey, we had to errata this on this card and because it was too overpowered, so it's this now instead. And if you don't know that, you just don't know it.
Isn't that what's it called? It just reminded me of that spell from Harry Potter.
Errata. So errata. Yeah.
Okay, like Avada Kedavra.
I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. What's going on?
Errata Kedavra.
No, they took my apes.
All my apes gone.
All my apes are rotted.
Patching cards just makes me think of okay, so NFTs are not only functionally, they're just useless. For the reasons from before, but also if you could patch a physical thing,
yeah,
we really don't need it.
I mean, you can only patch the physical thing in tournament play, because if it's just two people who are playing at a kitchen table and don't know that the rules have been changed on that card, they're just gonna play whatever the card says.
Yeah. I mean, you could already just do whatever you want anyway if it's not tournament, right? You're like, you know what, this card says this, but we're gonna do something else. I guess that land card is a Black Lotus. I don't know magic, but you could just say whatever you want to say.
That's
proxying. You can print your own cards. Yeah, yeah, you can just do it. Nothing's.
I have a proxy of a Black Lotus right here on my desk.
I don't know the rules. You can't stop me.
Yeah.
You can't stop me because I can't read the fucking card.
It was a. Yeah, because people will like just Sharpie over a card all the time to be like, this land is actually a restoration angel or whatever, a card that they just can't afford or just don't have access to.
I like that though. That makes me happy.
I was watching a tournament last week. And somebody pulled a, like, it's like an $80 to, like, $120 card out of the pack. And they don't keep their cards at the end of it. And they weren't using that card in the deck. So they used it as a proxy for, like, a much, much cheaper card and just wrote over it. Sharpie God. On this very expensive card.
Oh, it hurts. It physically hurts.
It hurt.
Even though...
It hurt, but it was also very, very funny.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, like, everything's fake and, like, little pieces of cardboard are little pieces of cardboard, no matter how rare they are.
And for anyone who might be listening, it was a, who knows magic, it was a dockside extortionist that they, like, I think it was for a Restoration Angel. They just wrote Restoration Angel over it. Like, I think they said that because, like, you know, it was somewhat, it was streamers playing, I think the guy was going to sign it and then, like, auction it off for charity at the end of it. Like, to, because, like.
So then it's just a fun, like, story. It's like, not only did he sign it and auction it off for charity, also.
He had, like, proxied it out, this expensive card, because he didn't actually need it.
Yeah, like, here's this funny story about the thing.
Yeah. So it's. I don't know. It's exciting. That stuff they we shoot on August 18th is when, like, Magic Fest starts, and we'll actually get, like, 30th
All
anniversary
news.
Yeah. But...
What kind of, like, is it just, like, decks and stuff? Or, like, do you expect any other kind of...
Well, so we should, at that point, start finding out what the sets that come out next year will be themed off of. And it'll also start spoiler season for the upcoming set that comes out in September. Which is like,
okay.
Which is pretty exciting. It seems pretty cool from what they've shown of it so far. So,
what's the theme?
It's called Dominaria United. And God, we're gonna really get into the weeds here for a second. Dominaria is the like physical place that the story of Magic originally took place for about the first 15 years of the game's life.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit
hey
less
man,
than
that. Hey, man, I read comic books for years and years. I can hold multiple different origin stories
oh,
in my
yeah,
brain.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but like, so, like, that's where it like,
so it's, like, a throwback to, like...
Yeah, and they've done Return to... Like, they've done a Return to Dominaria, like, kind like last year or the year before. I don't know, it was a few years ago. But this is, like, a continuation of the actual story that's going on. And kind of, like, it's supposed to be the lead-up to... A war between the main characters of Magic's current story and the big bad, like the existential terror that is called Phyrexia, which is just like, hey, what if meat machines and they are going to assimilate everything? What if the Borg, basically?
What if Cybermen?
Yeah. Like... So they, you know, it's it looks cool. They've shown off some of the like returning characters that we haven't seen in a long time. And they showed
to me
off.
It has big, like, there was an X-Men run a couple years ago where they were like, oh no, Jean Grey and all of the original four X-Men have traveled forward in time. They're here now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, here they are. Here, they're old, but they're new, and they're in the new place, and let's go.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a repeating of the story that took place, like, way back in the early 2000s in, like, what was called the Invasion Cycle, which is, like, the first time... Like, so when Invasion ended, that was the first time the story left Dominaria and then first went to, like, Kamigawa and then Mirrodin, like, and all these other different planes of existence, because you were planeswalkers. Planes walking away. It's a whole thing in Magic.
The planes.
So,
the,
like...
The ones who planes walk away from Omalas, my favorite short story.
So, like, this is just kind of returning to that, and it's kind of like an echo of, like, that whole Invasion arc, where it's, like, the same, like, similar threat coming to the same place, but with new characters who have changed over time, and, you know, like, kind of like a, kind of like what's, like, the Young Avengers or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, or, like, yeah.
So.
Like a homecoming.
Like, when, like, Peter Parker graduates from, like, the kid... kid Avengers to the adult Avengers.
Yeah, like. But then, like, there's still the kid Avengers. It's more like, what if the Avengers all got old and retired, and now there are new adult Avengers? Not too many like kid characters in Magic, to be honest.
It is kind of like that's watching the Rent movie, where it's like, oh, this is the return of people who are no longer young.
Yeah. But yeah, so it looks cool. I'm excited to see what, you know, what they plan out for next year, but I also struggle to have the same hype as some people who play Magic, and I'm like, look, I'm not gonna watch all these streams. I'm just gonna like I listen to a podcast that tells me what happened.
Like... Yeah, I'd have a hard time with that specifically because I feel like some of the excitement of new cards is tied up in like seeing the new cards.
Yeah, and like the new art and like kind of all
like
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like the art is like a non-negotiable part of the storytelling of a Magic card, like.
Yeah, and you know, like, it is like, I don't mind spoilers and like kind of looking at like what some cards are beforehand, but it is fun to open new packs and see like, ooh, look at this pretty thing.
Look how pretty it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff that you didn't know was going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I also do, like, on certain sets, I'm like, I must know everything that's coming in this, because I need to plot out exactly what I want to buy. But.
Hey, well, if y'all want to stay on the topic of tabletop for a second, there was that new trailer for the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so
everybody looked super hot in it, but I haven't heard it with sound yet. So, what's it sound? All I just saw was a lot of hot people. Michelle Rodriguez doing the thing she always does, which is this, I'm gonna peg everybody, like, look and energy about her. Stole that from a friend, though, so, not TM me.
It's really, like, it has a Thor Ragnarok energy to it, in that it's, like, classic rock songs placed over fantasy battling, and there's also one of those big, like Thor jumps that Taika likes to have Thor do. But I don't know, it looks like a very like kind of fun tongue-in-cheek kind of like adaptation that like it's got like a sexy and like a bit hapless bard. There are more than one person of color in the party, and woo-hoo! Some of them are women. Yeah. We're really like
so really completely the opposite of like original D&D.
yeah so basically it's like a modern D&D movie, you know, like
I think I counted three people of color if my numbers mm-hmm. was right, which is
it's got Justice Smith and Reggie John Page in it, and Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, so that's three,
yeah,
out of like five.
Yeah, that's not bad. D&D movie,
it looks better than the D&D cartoon,
and this is also Paramount too. They're like, hey, first we did Sonic, now we're going to get D&D. What other franchise has traditionally had bad, like, screen presence are they going to do next?
Truly, like, bad screen presence and, like, a spotty history of adaptations that have not appealed to the broader fan base.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to be next, but I'm looking forward to something that they just pull out of nowhere. We're like, cool. Good job, Paramount.
Oh yeah, okay. All right, Paramount. I'll take it.
Hey, I would take I will take them doing stuff over Netflix any day. So
Netflix,
yeah,
because
they actually can handle adapting shit.
Yeah. Well, Netflix is fucking up.
Dropping the ball, and like morally too.
Yeah. Starting with that, like, I think they finally started rolling out that whole like paying for multiple households on your account or whatever. So some
That's
nonsense.
Horse shit.
Yeah, I don't love it. And things that look good. I also saw some friends posted a Kingdom Hearts collaboration with somebody, some merchandise line.
Is it Super like a Groupies. Or something? Okay.
There's just like a lot of merch for. They like released lookbooks for like the main characters and like these dope watches. I posted it to one of our group chats, I think. But it's just some fancy stuff. It's I think it's Roxas doing the, you know, I had to do it to him pose. And, sure, why not?
See, my problem with that kind of, like, you know, that kind of crossover stuff, like, is the fact, like, the... So, like, Final
Fantasy...
It's okay,
they're coming to America, or they're coming to the real world in the next one.
That's true.
coming to America like the Eddie Murphy.
Like the Eddie Murphy movie. They're coming to Japan. They already found where Sora was standing on that highway.
It's true.
I can't believe it.
But so anytime a franchise does this that I enjoy, like Final Fantasy does it, it's always jewelry, and it's always like, hey, we made this really cool bracelet or ring. It's $800. I'm like, cool. Never, ever going to see that. Like,
yeah, like, holy shit. Like, the Roxas watch is, like has the little, like, fucking, like, the weapon guy on it.
The keyblade?
Like, well, not the keyblade on Roxas. It's the little, like, it's like a ninja star looking guy.
Oh, okay, okay.
But yeah, it's just, like, so fancy. It's got, like, the Organization 13 chairs.
Yeah, it's just so much back, going on. Like, why'd you have to go so hard for Kingdom Hearts? And then you think about, like, well, I guess that makes sense. Your Roxas, yeah, it's like the... Is that Axel's weapon, actually? That's
yeah,
Star
that's what
Shuriken?
I thought. I was like, isn't that Axel's thing? Like, the Akaroku people are living for this.
And then the sea salt ice
that's
cream
I was
or popsicle.
Confused.
Yeah, these are very fancy timepieces for no real reason. You could have just put the Kingdom Hearts logo and no one would have been upset.
Is like the next scale up of like, you know, like how like Box Lunch has kind of perfected the like this is a nerdy thing, but also business casual.
Yeah,
like,
it's not just a garish logo and meme.
Like this is like that, but for people who fly in first class. Like
the Sky Mall of nerd.
Not quite people who fly in private jets, but definitely for like first class nerds.
Yo dog, if you have a private jet, please don't just take it for 3-minute flights. It's a bad look.
It's the Hemeker Schlemmer of
And what else? I think that's mostly it. I guess we can move into some bad news. We'll start with joke bad news and then real bad news. Joke bad news. Well, it's not a joke. It's just not that serious. An actual food crime. The Choco Taco has been discontinued.
Yeah.
And, like, it makes me sad.
It's just the official one, though. There are still going to be knockoff Choco Tacos.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The, whatchamacallit, the thing is that have I eaten a Choco Taco since I was 13? Absolutely not. I have done no part in keeping this brand alive. But do I have emotional memories about the Choco Taco and getting it from the a la carte line in the lunchroom? Yes, I do have that.
Yeah.
That's about where I'm at.
I think I mostly ate them at, like, football games while I was in, like, the band or whatever. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, as I said, there will still be knockoffs. It's fine.
Yeah, as a lactose intolerant person, this is having very little effect on my life other than being like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's mostly, like, I think I was drawn to them specifically out of the ice cream options because it had a lot of chocolate in it. I didn't like vanilla ice cream. Like, it was, not that I didn't like it. It was just, like, a fine flavor. I wanted the chocolate.
Yeah.
So...
Before we move on to more other bad news, so I went to the Square Enix store because while we were talking about the merchandise stuff, and I was just going to try to find some of that expensive jewelry. So I found this other thing, and I just want you guys to click through on this link just so I can get your pure reactions on the price of this unit.
600 units available globally. Square Enix Master... Oh!
So
it's a large statue.
It's a 1/6 scale sculpture of the.
Is there a picture of a person next to it?
No, there isn't. It's a 1/6 scale model of the Magitek armor with Terra on it from Final Fantasy VI.
Makes it 30.7 inches tall, 78 centimeters.
Yeah.
Centimeters. I'm 160 centimeters. So that's half of me. That's so big.
It's so, which might explain why it's $14,000.
Is it made out of gold?
I mean, there's only going to be 600 of them made. So
this is NFT people should buy this.
Yeah. The NFT people should buy this because it would be way cooler. Because this looks rad as hell.
Like, at least then you have a cool fucking statue with, like, a pretty lady riding, like, a big steampunk angry robot.
And there's Moogles on it. The only thing
is... And there's Moogles on it.
Man, and they're individually numbered.
Looking at this...
They're individually numbered, just like an NFT.
Looking at this, the one thing I'm thinking is, this is going to be a fucking nightmare to dust.
Yeah.
No, you put that in a case. Like, you just... That just straight up goes in a case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't spend $14,000 on a figure and not have a case to put it in.
Like, yeah, then just, like, slap it on top of your, like, Target bookshelf.
Yeah.
Can we be honest? That's not a figure, my man. Yeah. That's a statue.
You're
that's,
right.
That's 30 inches. That's a whole ass statue.
That is a statue. Sorry to derail that's... it, but I saw this and I was like, I gotta share. That's just, that's a...
No, that watch is only, like, $200.
Oh, man. You get... But the good news is you get 2,000 Square Enix members rewards points when you buy it.
Oh, well, I was torn, but now...
That's why part of me loves the damn Square Enix store, because they literally have stuff that's $14,000 and stuff that's like $5. Like,
yeah.
Like, they literally have something for everybody. It's something about that is... amazing to me. Yeah, the featured merchandise, they have something that's like $18, and I know they have other stuff. I've been to the store before, but
yeah, they have like plenty of like little tiny music boxes and stuff that are cute, that are like fully affordable, like stuff on
hey,
there
the,
like and there's
the
like
acclaimed MMORPG Final Fantasy Online 14 online is 30% off until August 3rd.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot, because the second most expensive thing they have is that $700 Kingdom Hearts 3 not quite chess set, so you can't even play it. It's just a statue with a bunch of statues on top.
Well, there used to be that really expensive Mickey on here as well that looked extremely stupid.
The Mickey! It was like three colors.
Yeah, it was like three colors and like $800.
Yeah. Yeah, some of this stuff is just absurd, and I feel like they're just doing that to see if they can get away with it for some of these things. Yeah. I could see why the Kingdom Hearts chess set is that much, because it looks like there's a lot of intricate pieces that probably like were hard to craft. I'm not saying it should cost that much or that people should buy it, but I could see how maybe that could possibly be there. 14,000? I don't know, man. Something about that doesn't work right for me.
There's a
Does
cloud.
Does it pose?
What?
The character seems like it has different poses sometimes.
It might actually, like, it looks like you can pose Terra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can pose Terra. Okay, so it's a statue figure, so yeah. It's not trash.
No.
It doesn't need to be
there
that much.
There are two interchangeable kneeling Terras and interchangeable seating Terras. So, like, it's not that she's, jointed, it's that she's
replaceable.
You just have a couple
so,
of them.
So you have three pieces. I get the price now, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fine.
You're
but...
really only paying $4,000 per piece, so...
Yeah, hold on, I gotta just do some quick calculations here based on the Square Enix one. I'm just gonna round up for posterity because it's easier.
Also,
you
that
get...
cool watch is only 25,000 yen, so that's...
Just so you know,
that's
you can get...
$250 for a watch. That's fancy watch.
You can get
50? No, that's like regular expensive watch prices. That's actually not even...
You can get 70 Final Fantasy VII Remake Static Art Cloud Strife dress versions for the same price as
the
one...
Now what am I gonna do with all of those? Am I gonna like glue them to a suit and wear them to a local minor league baseball game?
I mean,
Should
you
I
might.
Become the Cloud Strife in a dress, Daddy?
There's nothing stopping you, I suppose.
Oh shit! There's a Hatsune Miku on this store. There's two.
Why?
Mikus.
Like, why are they here? Did Square Enix make a Vocaloid game?
No, it's. I think it's just they. So like, Square Enix owns this line of figures called
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. They designed them, basically. It's a really nice looking Miku. Look at this Miku. It's a good Miku.
I thought I saw it.
Nice
no, that is good.
Miku. Oh, what a cool Miku.
What is that, like $20,000?
No,
oh, okay.
It's a, 250. Yeah, $284.
Well, that makes sense. This is also like a limited edition thing. Like, okay, I can see that. It looks like it's crafted well.
Yeah.
We were just kind of stalling a little bit, listeners, because the last little bit of news, we're just going to approach in a tongue-in-cheek way, but it's still upsetting. I guess season 2 of the January 6th insurrection hearings are going to happen.
In September.
It's a cute way to say they're going to do more hearings because they weren't able to...
They found so many crimes.
Yeah. It was... Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So. It's important to listen to it, even if you already, like, believe, like, that crimes were committed... Like, please, eyes on this stuff. It's really, I cannot emphasize how important it is to, like, pay attention.
be aware to exactly how fucked up all of this was and how close we came to something very bad. Yeah,
that way, like, if you are and you do find yourself in a discussion with somebody who doesn't believe it or doesn't think it's real, you have the facts to back up what you, like, the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and if you think we're you're wrong, I don't know A, why you're listening to us, and mm-hmm. B, like,
made it a long way into this podcast.
Yeah, B, maybe watch it, listen to it, see what they're presenting. It's important.
Yeah, just get some different opinions. Just try to just always try to keep doing better. That's as long as you keep trying to do better, things will go better. But yeah, a podcast, friends.
We did it.
Steph, you want to hit him with the social media business? Because I have nothing pithy to go out on other than just take care of yourselves.
Yeah, if you're going to be gay and do crimes, don't do insurrections. You're not, like, and also don't be a racist or, appropriate racism just because you're queer. That's also not cool. Being queer isn't a race. White queer people looking at you. Anyway, if you want to argue with me about things on the internet, you can find us online. We are Character Reveal on Instagram and Facebook. We are Character Rev on Twitter. We are in your podcast catcher of choice under Character Reveal, and we are at characterreveal.simplecast.fm in your browser. You can find us individually on the internet. Eric is at Tindy Losi anywhere he wants to be found. Dom is Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found. That's Broth Adam, not a hard ER in the middle there. And you know, there's me. I'm the icy one. I'm the snow queer on Tumblr, Hella Stuff on Instagram, and Captain Stuff on Twitter. And if you want to support our show, you can go to patreon.com/character reveal and become a patron by pledging $1 or more per month. And you could also support us in a third way.
There's a third way.
Third way?
At least a third way.
It's at least a third way. I mean, like, supporting us on social media, that's one way. And then Patreon's a second way. So this is a third way.
Yeah.
Don't tell the Jedi. Buy coffee.
Yeah. go buy coffee. Grinding Coffee Company. They're our sponsor. They sell coffee for gamers, streamers, and anybody who likes coffee. And if you act now and go to their website, use our link, and use offer code CHARACTERREVEAL, you'll get 10% off your order. So two R's in the middle, character reveal. And that's, they got beans, they got grounds, they got K-cups. However you want to make your coffee, they can help you do it, unless you have some weird mystical way to do it. But that might happen one day, too. But yeah, Grinding Coffee Company, it's delicious. You get a deal, helps us, helps you, helps them. It's a win-win-win, baby. Delicious stuff. It's a good product. I can vouch for it. Yeah, check them out. Grinding Coffee Company.
Hell yeah.
And that's it, y'all. That's an episode. We did Geekly Reveal. We did the thing.
We done did it.
That's all I got. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for another one. But until next time, see you later.
Bye.